The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all these things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. In this evening's Gospel, Jesus is aware of the deep anxiety of his own disciples as they face the reality of his final departure. They are who they are because of him. So without him, who will they be? Jesus prepares them for the day of his going, as liturgy prepares us for the ascension which we celebrate this week. Before he returns to the Father, Jesus counsels his disciples to not be afraid. Go he must, but in his last will and testament, leaves them more than his absence. He leaves them his word, his peace, and the promise of a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will help them in the future to be his disciples. In his last will, Jesus doesn't leave his followers answers to every question of life. He knew that they would need to endure many struggles, that they would have to face ambiguity and confusion, difference and disagreement. They wouldn't see eye to eye on everything. They would have different memories of Jesus. They would emphasize different things. In the conflicts that could arise, they would have to put their faith to work. That is why they would need the advocate, the big lawyer. We only need a lawyer when there is trouble, and it wasn't long before the helper was needed to settle conflict in the early church. We heard of that in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. During their year's mission in Antioch, Barnabas and Paul had great success in receiving many Gentiles into the Christian faith. However, their success gave rise to conflict in the community when members of the Jerusalem community argued that all converts first had to be circumcised and obey the detail of the Jewish law of Moses. Paul vigorously opposed this group, arguing that obedience to the law does not bring salvation. This is achieved through faith in Jesus Christ. However, those who argued that all Gentiles must obey the law had an influential lobby, and Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians that they even influenced Peter. He says, "When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, since he was manifestly in the wrong. When I saw that they were not respecting the true meaning of the good news, I said to Cephas in front of everyone, 'In spite of being a Jew, you live like pagans, so you have no right to make the pagans copy Jewish ways.'" So you can hear the conflict in Paul's account of what happened. When Luke retells that story, as we heard in the Acts of the Apostles this evening, he tells us the story of the Council of Jerusalem, which is called to settle the question, but he tidies up the conflict, and all we get is the resolution. Paul, on the other hand, is clearly not embarrassed by having to argue his case openly and oppose very powerful and respected members of the church. Paul puts his faith to work and argues for Christ, and it is largely through the Spirit working in him that the church spread so rapidly among the Gentiles. Paul took Christ from within the precepts of the Jewish faith and introduced him to the pagan world. We take heart from the conflict of the early church because we know from experience there will always be some confusion and disagreement in our complex community. Not everything is heavenly clear, and that is because we're here on earth. And that is why we need the Spirit. In the lives of us all, we have to work through confusion and aim for peace. The church we belong to continues to grow and has to face new questions honestly and in the light of the Spirit. We are neither alone nor helpless. We have the Word of God and we have the presence of the Spirit to help us, so that the church must always do what it does. It must face real confusion and aim for peace. It is not until the heavenly Jerusalem that we will have total peace. Meanwhile, we face the real world with confidence because we have great gifts in our community. We have the Word of God, we have the presence of the Spirit, and we have leaders who will argue for the freedom of the gospel.